So today I would like to look with you into this week's Haftorah portion and take special note of some lessons waiting there for us. And let us open Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. And I would like to say thanks to Claude and Esther because they took part in this lesson. We were together thinking about it and reading together. So thank you very much. So Amos chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. And yeah, please let us read really, 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 really carefully. It's very important. In that day, I will raise up David's fallen sukkah, which can be translated also as tabernacle. I will restore its breaches, breaks, and holes, raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in days of old. Verse 12, so they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations called by my name. It is a declaration of Adonai, the one who will do this. Such a great place of scripture. If you'll not remember anything, we can stop the service and you can read it whole. But let's go together. So before moving on to these verses from the prophet of the book, I want to look at the tabernacle of David and see how it was different from the tabernacle of Moses. What was the difference? What was the main difference between the tabernacle of David and the tabernacle of Moses? So the tabernacle of Moses consisted of three parts: the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. So three parts. In the outer courtyard, there was an altar and a laver, a large container filled with the water in which the priest performed ritual ablution, washed themselves before entering the tent. So in the first place, courtyard, people could come freely to offer their sacrifices to God. They had free access there. And it was here that the daily sacrifices and prayers were performed in the courtyard. Inside the courtyard, there was also a large tent, which was off limits to all except the priests. This tent was divided into two parts. The first called the holy place, and the second, the holy of holies. Let's say together, holy place and holy of holies. It is very important to remember. Three items were in the holy place. There was a golden menorah having lights which were supposed to be constantly burning. There was a table called the table of showbread, on which the priest offered special bread daily as a sacrifice to God. And finally, there was an altar of incense in the holy place. In this place, only priests could enter, and only with the blood of the sacrifice. The bread for the table, and in order to keep the fire on the golden menorah alive. So the holy place was separated from the other part on the tent, the holy of holies, by a large curtain. This was the very curtain that was torn from top to bottom many centuries later in the temple. Do you remember when it was? At the very moment of Yeshua's sacrificial death. But until the time, the curtain was always necessary to hide the Holy of Holies. And only one item was behind that curtain in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, in which there was a container of manna. Do you remember what will be on the breakfast? Manna. On the lunch? Manna, sir. On the dinner? Manna, sir. Of manna from this way, we like to cook very delicious foods because after 40 years of manna, we developed a great tradition to cook fish and different kind of food. Yeah. So a container of manna from those 40 years in the desert. There were the tablets of the covenant which Moses brought down the mountain, and there was a piece of wood, the rod of Aaron, which constantly bloomed in the presence of the Lord, constantly. Consider this. If a dry piece of wood comes to life and bears leaves in the presence of God, then how much more will we? How much more will our souls come to life and become fruitful in His presence? If even dry piece of wood bloomed in the presence of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord constantly resided in the Holy of Holies, and therefore only the high priest could enter there. And only once a year on Yom Kippur. Actually, chapter 16, chapter 23 of today's Torah readings speaks about Yom Kippur, very day. The only purpose for which he could enter was to bring an annual sacrifice, a cleansing sacrifice for himself, for Israel, and for all mankind. Only one day in a year. Except for the high priest on Yom Kippur, no one ever had the right to go there, as his entry was certain death in the presence of the glory of God. And do you remember the place of scripture when two sons of Aaron decided to enter the Holy of Holies, and they died there because of their disobedience? So we need to understand the Holy of Holies was the heart, the center of everything. The sanctuary in which resided the presence of the Lord. So the ark and the presence of the Lord was the heart of whole idea of tabernacle of Moses. It was the center place. So, but in the tabernacle of David, there were no sanctions. The tabernacle of David was so different from the tabernacle of Moses. Of course, we don't have exact description or we don't have picture to show it here. It was a long time ago. But according to some Bible scholars, it was a large tent with an ark of the covenant in the middle of this tent. There were no curtains behind which the Spirit of God was hidden away from people. And remember Psalms and many other places. Round-the-clock worship and praise of God was conducted in this tabernacle 24/7 without any interruption. And the presence of God filled the entire tabernacle. It was a great place with worship 24/7. I would like to enter that place for sure. But you know what? We have a wonderful place here right now in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Every Levite who participated in the worship had, and every person who entered the tabernacle of David to worship could feel the Lord in the tabernacle of David. This was the main difference. And now, please consider what a step was for King David to bring only the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem without the tabernacle of Moses. So he brought only the Ark of Covenant without the tabernacle of Moses. One cannot overstate the significance of the change from the tabernacle that God said should be built for him. And we can read in all this story in the 2 Samuel chapter 6 and later how David, King David did this. It was a glory moment of glory. By doing this, King David changed all procedures of priesthood in the tabernacle of Moses, because tabernacle of Moses was without an ark of the covenant. No, the ark in the tabernacle of Moses. It was no longer functional. Priesthood and Levite ministry moved to Jerusalem with ark of the covenant. They moved with the ark of the covenant. Okay. I know English is a tricky language. David took the ark and brought it into Jerusalem. And he didn't take the tabernacle of Moses with him into Jerusalem. What a step it was. Can you imagine? I believe this decision was a prophetic act. David was a picture of Messiah who was to come. And we know that Yeshua was called the son of David. It was a prophetic act because we don't see that the Lord rebuked David or said something wrong against him. He was blessed by the Lord by doing that. David brought the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of the Lord, out of the Holy of Holies to the people of Israel. There was no curtain anymore, no division between the Lord and the people. It really reminds me the coming of Yeshua, who really brought this idea of freely entering the presence of the Lord. John chapter 4, Yohanan chapter 4, verse 21. And if you can, please open with me. Yohanan, John chapter 4, verse 21. Yeshua tells her, you remember this interesting discussion with woman, where? Woman, on the well. Great discussion about the Holy Spirit, about the coming of, verse 21. Yeshua tells her, woman, I love it, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. And you know that tragedy came later when the temple was destroyed and Jewish people were not allowed to live in Jerusalem anymore for centuries, for centuries. But does it stop God to fellowship with people? Does it stop people to fellowship with the Lord? Of course not. Verse 22, your worship, what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, it is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people as his worshipers. For God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's say together, worship in spirit and truth. The Lord is here with us. And when two or three of us together in his name, he's there too. He's with us. I want to read some interesting passages from the book of Psalms and ask one important question after that. So please be careful. I would like to read it. First, Psalm 23, verse 6. And then I will ask a very interesting question. So Psalm 23, 6. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Adonai forever. The second place, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I asked of Adonai, one thing. You know, we are blessed to be in this place. One thing have I asked of Adonai, that will I seek, to dwell in the house of Adonai all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Adonai and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his sukkah, conceal me in the shelter of his tent, and set me high upon a rock. Then will my head be high above my enemies around me. In his tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing praises to Adonai. Actually, we sung praises to Adonai. So here's the question. Here's the very important question. What house of the Lord is David is talking about? Because we know that his son, Solomon, built the temple. What was the house in the days of David? It is very simple math. It was not temple of Solomon. It was not tabernacle of Moses. 3 minus 2 leaves only one. Tabernacle of David. It is his tabernacle he calls house of the Lord, house of Adonai. It is about this place he's praying and praising the Lord because he wanna be there. He wanna be there. He wanna be there. And you know what's interesting? The Lord promises in Amos chapter 9 to restore exactly the tabernacle of David. It is his promise. So what does this mean for us today? Because we like to take a lesson for us, because we live in this century, in this year. So what a lesson for us. Some scripture teachers claim that Amos is telling us about the restoration of worship in the body of Messiah. Some see in this chapter of prophecy about the restoration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Lord restores both. And it is his perfect will that in his house, his children worship him, that the Holy Spirit can perform miracles and change the hearts of people. It is his will. The tabernacle of David is all about praising God. You know, the book of Psalms. It was the son's book for them to worship the Lord in the tabernacle of David. About worshiping him, about joy, about music, about freedom of the spirit in his presence. And above all, this prophecy of Amos speaks of God's promise of a great restoration and awakening of Israel. This is the heart of this prophecy. Awakening in Israel. Great revival, salvation of the Jewish souls and Jewish hearts. The Lord promises to restore his presence among the people of Israel, such as was in the tabernacle of David, where people could enter into his presence. Again and again. I want to share a very important truth and a very important secret. Do not tell anyone, as we usually do. It is between us. We are living in unique prophetic times that the Bible says so much about. And we're living right now in these days. With our own eyes, we see the fulfillment of God's promises. And even more, you are part of a fulfillment of God's promises. You are part. He is making history today, right now. Beth Israel and you and I, we are all part of that history. We read about it in Amos chapter 9, restoration of the tabernacle of David. I know for sure many difficult things are happening in the world today around us. Illness and deaths, wars and rumors of war, crisis on every hand, so that it can be difficult to see the hand of the Lord. It's easy to see the enemy, he's around, but we need to see the Lord is working right now. And he's restoring the fallen tabernacle of David right now, today. So let's take a look at how the apostles explained the prophecy of Amos at the first council in Jerusalem. And it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. Let us open book of Acts chapter 15. So here's the little bit of history. At this first council in Jerusalem, they decided whether the non-Jews could believe in Yeshua as their Messiah, or they should first be converted to Judaism. This was the great decision at the time. It was a question of great significance for the body of Messiah. The first congregation of Jerusalem was about to split on this question. It was a great division. Some part of people in Jerusalem who were followers of usually of Pharisees, they said, no, first they need to become a Jews, and then they can come to faith in Yeshua. But praise the Lord, biggest part of the first believers, they were in another part. It was a crucial and critical moment in the history of the church. Can you imagine? The historical moment which changed of the course of the history of mankind forever. That decision literally changed the whole world because they decided right. They opened the door for all the nations of the world to come to faith in Yeshua and to come to faith in the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob freely. It is so important. This was the time when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Jewish people, and many Jews became messianic in their understandings and conviction. Even many priests and Levites came to faith in Yeshua. It was a glorious revival in Israel. This was a time when the Holy Spirit began to fall on non-Jews. And it was a mystery for Jewish people. How it is possible? Because according to the rules of the time, Jews and non-Jews, they can't even eat together. And for non-Jew to come to worship in the temple, he need to become a Jew first. Or proselyte. You remember this? They were called proselytes. So let us read Acts chapter 15, started with verse 8. So here's the Peter, Apostle Peter, Shimon. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them by giving them the Ruach HaKodesh, just he also did for us. So Apostle Peter, Shimon, he came to this house of Cornelius, and he started telling them about Yeshua, and something started happening there. Probably he had different feelings about it. Part of him was to stop everything. You can't do this. It's not right. You need to first become a Jew, and then maybe we will think about the Holy Spirit coming on you. But you know, the Lord broke all the rules. He just filled them with the Holy Spirit. And Peter was, am I guilty here? What did I do wrong? Did I supposed to be here? He was not aware what's going on. The Holy Spirit moved by his presence and his will among the Gentiles. And here's the Apostle James, or Yaakov, his Hebrew name. Acts chapter 15, verse 14. Simon has described how God first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree, as it is written, and here's the Amos chapter 9. After this, I will return and rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it. Verse 17. So that the rest of humanity may seek the Lord, namely all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says Adonai, who makes these things known from old. It's an amazing explanation. It is an interesting fact that Apostle James, Yaakov, from all the prophecies of the scriptures about revival and end times, he selected this one. And can you imagine how hot it was there? Part of the Jews against it, part, and you know, two Jews, three opinions, you know. It was a fire in the water. And here's James stood up, and he read this place of scriptures, and a miracle happened. They agreed. All of these Jews agreed. And he chose only one place from the prophecy, Amos chapter 9. It shows me that this place from Amos is a very important and had a great influence on the first believers. They really, it was the basis for their exception and accepting this choice. In time of King David, it was revolutionary that he brought Ark of the Covenant without the tabernacle of Moses into Jerusalem and built the tent where the presence of the Lord was not hidden from people, and people could worship the Lord there. In the same way, the decision of the first messianic congregation was a revolutionary idea which changed the face of the world and brought revival to the nations. It was the same. Here the Apostle James and Peter clearly talk about revival in the rest of the nations and explained that this is part of the fulfillment of the promise given to Israel. This is the great revival of the Jewish people, the restoration of the tabernacle of David, God's presence in Israel, which leads to revival throughout all world. This was his explanation. The apostles clearly said that the restoration of the tabernacle of David is the spiritual awakening of Israel through faith in Yeshua, our Messiah. And I believe, I really think, that one of the important parts of the prophecy speaks about the restoration of the Messianic movement, about the revival of the Jewish people as worshipers of God who will filled with the Holy Spirit, will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and how it was during the tabernacle of David, they will bring God's presence to the land of Israel and to the ends of the earth. Please, it's an important thing. The existence of Jewish messianic communities, what seems common to us today, it is normal for us. Shabbat, we are here, or we can watch the services live. But it seems common to us today, is in fact is a manifestation of the great miracles of God. We are the manifestation. Just 100 years ago, no one could have imagined that the restoration of faith in Yeshua, the messianic awakening in the Jewish environment would come. 100 years ago. It was no messianic congregations, messianic congregation in this world. There was officially only one Jewish messianic community in the city of Chisinau, Moldova, where the leader was Joseph Rabinovich and several small missions on the face of the earth that worked with the Jewish people, leading people to knowledge and faith in the Messiah Yeshua. In the Christian environment of that time, no one knew or understood what the Jewish messianic communities was, and how a Jew who accepted Yeshua as his personal savior could remain a Jew. It was a nonsense. You are Jew or you are a Christian. No one understood how a Jew could accept Yeshua without renouncing his Jewishness, without a conversion to the religion known as Christianity. It was a mystery for people. And today, it is probably not possible to count how many Jews in the world are believers in Yeshua, and how many hundreds and hundreds of Jewish messianic communities and groups are worshiping Yeshua today. It is a miracle. It is a time of restoration. But these happenings are for real. They are heart and soul of the fulfillment of that promise of a spiritual revival of the Jewish people. And yeah, we have only 2 more hours, you know, yeah, for sure. So Romans chapter 11, let's use our 2 hours wisely. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, 27. Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul. He's the same man, Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul. 11:25. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, he is talking to Romans, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Please do not tell anyone. It's another mystery. All Israel, I love translation, shall be saved. There is no way to escape it. This is the time when the Lord will raise Tabernacle of David, and all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. A very clear message it was to the Roman believers of the day. And it's still to us to this day, for any who will read this chapter from Romans. Such an incredible message in just few words. All Israel shall be saved. Let us say together, all Israel shall be saved. How wonderful it is to know the end of history. And although the battle is still ongoing and there will be many difficult battles, but we know that we will be winners in the end, because all Israel shall be saved. All book of Romans, chapter 9:11, speaks about this idea, salvation of the Jewish people. So, very important truth, Romans 11:15. For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, rejection of the Jewish people, what will their acceptance be but life from the death? Resurrection of people, coming of Messiah. Paul realized from the scriptures that the salvation of Israel means the coming of the Messiah and the restoration of the world, the second coming. Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, understood this great secret from the prophecy in the book of Amos about the restoration of the fallen tabernacle of David. He perfectly understood that when spiritual awakening comes to the Jewish people and the presence of the Lord returns to Zion, at the same time, the Lord moves in his salvation throughout the whole earth, saving people from all nations of the world, bind together. In conclusion, this last one important thought for today. What it is, the revival of the Jewish people? How should we understand this awakening? So, in the minds of many sincere believers, revival is when the Lord himself descends from heaven and does all the hard work for us. Immediately, crowds come together and all they repent and receive the Lord. And it's a beautiful picture. Of course, the Lord is almighty and can do as he wishes to do. But we must remember the example from the Bible that the crowd is good, but the revival in the scripture is so much more than just a crowd. I still remember the impact on me of a book I once read, which was titled Awakening Begins With Me. Awakening, revival begins in me. Each of us is a bearer of God's glory. Each is a part of the tabernacle of David. You are the part. Everyone is important to the Lord and loved by him. Every one of you. We are the tabernacle of David. Remember that by serving God in your place, by serving in the place you live today, by serving faithfully and with a grateful heart, you build up his tabernacle and bring the coming of our Messiah closer by doing your part, by faithfully doing your part. On behalf of the Lord, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in all things, for your service, for your presence in the community, for your participation and prayers, for your offerings and tithings, for being with the congregation, a part of the congregation, for holding the congregation together in both easy and difficult times. This is the building of the tabernacle of David. This is the way how to build it. What a great gift from God for us. How much he loves us. Amen. So let's close our service with our own benediction. I would like to invite Aaron to pray and let us stand in the presence of the Lord.
You remember your social distancing? I wish you all knew exactly how deeply I pray this for you. I really hope this prayer is realized in your lives. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and truly bring you peace. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmerech. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai Adonai panav alecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. God bless you.
And let us stay for a couple minutes. I would like to pray for you in this week, and so we can be continuation of God's work and really build the tabernacle of David in our places. Lord, thank you so much for this message to us, Lord, that we are the tabernacle of David in your eyes, Lord. Thank you so much for Beth Israel, Lord. Thank you for everyone who is watching us online, Lord. Thank you for everyone who is in this place, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us, Lord. We can feel your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your restoration, Lord. Lord, help us to be this restoration, to walk in your restoration, Lord, and help us to restore others, Lord, around us. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Thank you so much. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.